إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا أما بعد قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم My dear brothers and sisters and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Bismillah ta'ala, we have started this series of Tazkiyah wa Tarbiyah and the series of lectures saying Tazkiyah Tarbiyah begins at home and this continues in the same series. I've been talking about, therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the best example to follow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla wa ala caused every single element of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be preserved. And I mentioned to you in the last Jummah, the detail to which the aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been preserved, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, at the end of this entire series, you will have the whole series together as one DVD as well as a book on this whole, which will be the documentation of all these lectures, so you can see them or read them in sequence, inshallah, with the intention of, inshallah, of practicing them. Because the purpose of all of this is to practice, it's not merely to listen and go away. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He intended Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the example for all of mankind till the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused what is normally private to become public. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers, the ummahatul mu'mineen, the azwajatul mutahharat, to record as well as to propagate and tell people about the aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which normally we would not have known. And incidentally, this is I was just reflecting the other day, that this is one of the ways in which we have gone away from the Sunnah, which is that especially with respect to our scholars, I do not know, Allah Alam, maybe I am wrong, but I do not know whether there is a single account by the wife of any single one of our contemporary scholars, or even scholars of even among the classical scholars, for example. I do not know of whether there is an account from the wife of any one of them about their private life. You know, what kind of ibadah did they do? What were the du'as that they made? How did they behave in the family, with people, and so on? I do not know of a single record of any one of these scholars. Allah Alam, as I said, I'm not saying this with authority. I'm just saying that I have never read, and of course I don't claim to have read everything. But I'm saying if somebody wants to know the account of even among the Aimmatul Arba, if you say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, and so on, or we take it, you know, earlier or later, or even if we come to our contemporary scholars this country or even the Middle East, we have no account. And this to me is a going away from the Sunnah, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wives, they spoke about him and about his life. The reason being that the world needs and people need role models. Today the biggest problem in the world is that we have no role models. Alhamdulillah that we have Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we did not have the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if somebody were to say that I want to follow a role model, I want my children to follow a role model, whose model should I follow? Tell me, who would you name? I'm sure we would be able to name somebody for some things. For example, you might say, follow so-and-so if you are looking at a political life here. Follow so-and-so as a teacher. Follow so-and-so as something. But can you name, and I'm not asking you this question as a Muslim, because of course you will name Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But I'm saying, even if you are an absolute agnostic or somebody who is not a Muslim, if I ask you, name one person in whose life, two important things, in whose life there are examples to follow in every aspect of life, and number two, those examples have been authoritatively and very strongly preserved with great integrity. Both are important, right? Both are important. One, that there is an example, and secondly, that example was preserved. There might be examples, Allah Alam, but we don't know, we don't have them, we don't know them. So now what do we do, right? So if you say, name one person whose life encompasses every aspect of human relations, every aspect of the challenge of being a person, being a human being, being a leader, and with the assurance that those examples have been properly preserved with integrity. If I say this, if I put this question even to a general audience and say, name one person, there is no one person. This is not a statement of faith, this is a statement of fact. There is no one person. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this one person. My brothers and sisters, the kalimatu tayyibah, the kalimatani, what do you say when you enter Islam? Ashadu la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The first part of the kalima is a declaration of the reality of Allah. Who is Allah? Jalla Jalalu. He is the only one worthy of worship. I declare that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question immediately is, so what? So what? The second part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, answers the so what. How? Because when I'm saying that I believe, that it is my iman, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, what am I actually saying? What do I mean by that? I mean that I believe this, I believe in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I accept the fact that I will follow this message. Yes or no? Otherwise, if you simply say that Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah, is it purely an academic statement? Is it purely a statement to say that Musa alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah? Or if we bring it into a worldly sense, is it simply to say Jeff Immelt is the chairman of General Electric? Or Manmohan Singh is the Prime Minister of India? Is it something like that? Just a statement, it's a factual statement. I mean, Manmohan Singh is the Prime Minister of India. Question is, so what? Big deal. Let him be Prime Minister of India. What can I do about that? Nothing to do with me. Is it something like that? Or is there a difference when we are saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? What do you think? Is there a difference or there's no difference? There is a difference. What is the difference? That difference is my connection with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That difference is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I am connected with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes or no? That is what makes you and me a Muslim. What makes you and me a Muslim is this connection. It is not memorizing these two sentences in Arabic. Anybody can say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Somebody can be teaching a course on Islam. A person who is a non-Muslim, an agnostic, a idolater, or Christian, Jewish person, Hindu, whoever, is teaching a course on Islam. And the person says, you know, when a person wants to enter Islam, what he has to do is to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now, did this person become a Muslim? No. He is merely stating what somebody has to do if they want to enter Islam. That does not make him a Muslim. Even though he actually repeated that kalima with his tongue, all of us were witness when this person said this, but still that person does not become a Muslim. When does he become a Muslim? When that kalima enters his heart. That is why tasdeequm bil qalb comes before ikrarum bil lisan.
The tasdiq in the qalb, that the belief in the heart comes before saying it with your tongue. And then what is the third part? Al-amal bil-arkan. Is to act on this kalima. So the kalima of shahadat, la ilaha illallah, is a statement of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a statement of who, of what our connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that connection comes through the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, that is the importance of the sunnah. The importance of the sunnah is because the sunnah is automatic protection against sin. Sunnah is automatic protection against shirk. Sunnah is automatic protection against kufr. How? Because you cannot be committing shirk according to the sunnah. There is no such thing. That's an oxymoronic statement. If someone says, I'm committing shirk according to sunnah, that's an oxymoronic statement. It's ridiculous. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. If it is according to the sunnah, it is not shirk. If it is shirk, it is not according to the sunnah. The two are mutually exclusive. The two cancel out each other. So if a person is on the sunnah, automatically that person is protected from sin. See the beauty of the sunnah. Can you be telling lies according to the sunnah? Can you be deceiving somebody according to the sunnah? You get the point I'm saying? The sunnah is so beautiful that the sunnah is automatic protection against all kinds of evil. It's automatic protection against all kinds of sins. If a person is on the sunnah, you can be sure that that person is doing only what is right. What is wrong, that person cannot possibly do. Can you leave salah according to sunnah? No, you can pray according to sunnah. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. But did he say, leave prayer as you see me leave prayer? Because he never left prayer. So you cannot leave salah according to the sunnah. No, you are either leaving salah or you are following the sunnah. One of the two things. Right? So the sunnah is protection. The sunnah is protection. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best example for you is the sunnah. The best example for you is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because it will protect you from sin. It will protect you from everything which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will protect you from everything which can get you into trouble. So follow this sunnah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this blanket statement. Uswatun hasana. Allah made the blankets, the life of my Nabi. He did not say the ibadat of my Nabi. He did not say the wazaif of my Nabi. He did not say the sacrifice of my Nabi. He did not say the jihad of my Nabi. He said the life of my Nabi. Everything in the life of my Nabi. Every single thing. Why? Because it was the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every single sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be followed. Every single sunnah should be followed. Somebody asked me a question the other day, mashallah, may Allah protect and help our brothers and sisters who ask good questions. This person asked me a question, he said, I want to seriously start following the sunnah, what should I start with? What should I start with? So I told him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me to say that which is right, I told him, start with the sunnah mu'akkada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Start with those things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do always. And then I listed some of the sunnah mu'akkada. I said the sunnah salah after the faraid, the azkar after the first salah, not immediately standing up and praying, you make the azkar because this is sunnah mu'akkada, and so on and so on. And then I thought came into my mind and I wrote to him and I said, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all sunnah mu'akkada. The akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mu'amilat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all sunnah mu'akkada. Let us not restrict the sunnah only to the beard, only to the turban, only to salah, only to azkar. Oh, no. All of these are sunnah mu'akkada. We are not saying they are not, but I am saying don't let us confine this to only these things. Don't confine only to these things. It's like somebody, jokingly they told me one day, they said somebody, there was some guy with a nice big beard, and he was a bit creative with the truth. So, someone told him, kya yaro, daadi dakke chhut bolte ka? To unhne bola kya daadi mudaya to chhut jaye to aata. So, daadi rakke chhut bolte, wo alag cheez hai. He said, you have a beard and you tell lies. So, the point is, you shave your beard, lying is now halal for you. Yeah? So, telling a lie is haram. Beard or no beard, that's a different issue, right? That's a different, whether you have a beard or you don't have a beard is a different issue. Nothing to do with telling lies. Lying and cheating is haram whether or not you have a beard. Now, of course, if you have a beard, then you are putting up a symbol. People will say, you know, look like this, but you are like a shaitan. So, different matter. But the point I'm saying is that the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, तो दाढ़ी मुंडा तो झूठ जाए क्या बोला कहते वो सही. सो सीरियसली वी हैव टू आस्क आवरसेल्फ दिस क्वेश्चन बिकॉज वी टेंड टू रेस्ट्रिक्ट दिस इज द ब्यूटी ऑफ इस्लाम इज दैट इट कवर्स एवरी एस्पेक्ट ऑफ आवर लाइफ एंड वी टेंड टू रेस्ट्रिक्ट आवर अंडरस्टैंडिंग एंड वी टेंड टू कन्फाइन इट एंड वी एक्ट एज इफ इस्लाम ओनली अप्लाइज टू सर्टन थिंग्स टू इबादत टू अपीयरेंस एंड सो ऑन एंड द रेस्ट ऑफ इट वी लीव इट. नो Ibadat are important, appearance is important, we have mentioned this many times, but let us not get the impression that it ends with that. It doesn't end with that. That is only the beginning. And it's a beginning also because if you, for example, if your appearance is according to the sunnah, that appearance becomes a guarantee for you in many cases. For example, if you are dressed like the way I am dressed, and if you look like the way I am looking, you will have hesitation and going and standing in the line to buy tickets for a cinema. Yeah? It will be difficult. Ye kya Maulvi sahab jaake picture dekh rahe the. Is waste wo kya karna pehle se internet pe khareeda. Ha? La halo la quwwat hai la. La seriously. Aajkal sab aasan ho gaya. Everything has become very easy. You don't have to stand in a line. You can buy that ticket on the internet. The internet doesn't care whether you have a turban or you don't have a turban. So, alhamdulillah, the issue of appearance is important because that itself is protection, alhamdulillah, right? So, people will not invite you to wrong things, they will not ask you to do wrong things because of your appearance. But if anyone imagines that everything ends with appearance, that is nonsense. Of course, it doesn't. It has to extend to every aspect of our life. And therefore, I said to this friend of mine, I said, Sunnah Mu'akkada, the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are all Sunnah Mu'akkada. The mu'amilat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are all Sunnah Mu'akkada. Let's not restrict the sunnah to something which is only one aspect of life. No, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Everything in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not any aspect of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nothing in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be left unfollowed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to this fact and told us to take the entire life of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example and to mold our lives on that. My dear brothers and sisters, those who claim that this record is faulty, those who claim that the hadith is not reliable and so on and so forth, right, must then ask this question: how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order and then made it impossible for this order to be followed? This doesn't make any sense. Allah gives an order, follow the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then the record is missing. So you say, well, how do I follow? I don't know. Record is missing. Record is corrupted. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. It doesn't make sense. The record is not corrupted. The sunnah, the ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were recorded during his lifetime, and they used the recorders, the writers of the hadith, used to read back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what they wrote, and he would confirm. The historical record, there are historical records about this. I'm not making it up. Seriously, I'm telling you. The people who recorded the hadith were the same people who recorded the wahi. The same people who recorded the Quran. And they used to read back to the extent that a man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes you say something in anger. Should I also record that? Meaning that maybe you didn't mean it. You just said something, maybe you didn't mean it. Should I record that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one in whose life is the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards my tongue. So he said, anything I say, you can record. Allah ensures and Allah makes sure that I do not say anything which I should not be saying. So let us not fall into these traps of people who basically internally you don't want to do something, and so therefore now you find some excuse and you say, well, you see, I really wanted to obey the sunnah, but the sunnah is corrupted, so I can't help it. So I go to the disco, or whatever it is we do.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Let's not fool ourselves. Because seriously, I fear a day. I fear a day for myself. And I fear a day for people like this. Who, the day on which everything will become completely clear. Totally, totally clear. Absolutely no doubts. Completely clear. When the curtain which is on our eyes today will be lifted. And this is a one-way street. Once the curtain is lifted, it will never come back. Once it's lifted, it's lifted. And then everything will become absolutely clear. And then what? And then what? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah said on the day of judgment, O my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you could see the mujrimun. Allah did not say mushrikun, he did not say kafirun. He said mujrimun. The people who commit jurum, the people who commit sins, the people who are Muslims, but who do all kinds of things. And of course, it also includes the others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said mushrikun, in which case we could have, well, I'm not a mushrik, so I'm out of this. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a term which we need to fear, because it may Allah protect all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause all our names and the names of all our families to be removed from this list of mujrimun, inshallah. But until that happens, we don't know if it is happening or not. We are making this dua. We ask Allah to accept this dua, inshallah. Today is Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts duas. But until then, we need to fear. Is my name in this list? Because if my name is in this list, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us what will happen. He said, what will they do? Walau tara, when they see, idil mujrimuna naqis, if you could see, walau tara, if you could see, mujrimuna naqisu ru'usihim inda rabbihim, the mujrimun standing with their heads hanging down in humiliation and shame before their Rabb, what will they say? They will say, Rabbana, O our Rabb, Abusarna, we have seen. Wasamana, we have heard. Farjana, send us back. Send us back. Na'amal salihan inna muqinoon, and we will do good deeds and we will be obedient. But as I told you, and as you know before, without me telling you, which one of you doesn't know this? Huh? It's a one-way street. Only one direction. Once we go there, there is no turning back. You can say, send me back, but there is no coming back. And that is the reason why we need to fear. And we must ensure that we don't end up in a situation where we are among those who are standing there and saying that. Because it is not going to happen. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us also about the reward that He would give to the one who tried to follow every sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of his love for the beloved of Allah. Allah told us what reward He will give to the one who follows the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who does what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant. I am using these two terms, small and insignificant, after making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is nothing small and insignificant about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hugely significant. I am saying small and insignificant because this is our way of thinking. This is our mistaken way of thinking. Where we have taken it upon ourselves to grade what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do into things which we think are important and things which we think are unimportant. I remind myself and you to reflect that if this indeed was the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have specified this and said, follow the things in the life of my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which are important. Allah would have said, follow the significant things. Allah did not say that. Allah said, follow everything. Follow everything. What does it mean? It means everything is significant. And therefore, if there is anything in our minds which tells us that some things are more important and some things are less important with respect to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to think very seriously, and we need to make tawbah, and we need to correct our aqidah. This is the principle of aqidah, where we have taken it upon ourselves to grade the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of what is more important and what is less important. Just as we have taken it upon ourselves
to grade the haram and halal, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have taken it upon ourselves to grade them into what is more important and what is less important. So in our lives, drinking alcohol is not so important. It's okay, can be done. But eating pork, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Masjid mein khada rahe pork bol rahe. To kahan khada rahe bolna? Quran ki ayat hai, tarawih mein sunte. Kya bolte hain? Lahmul khinzir. Quran ki ayat hai, nahi hai. Tarawih mein sunte, nahi sunte. This is our gradation. That's why Mirza Ghalib, somebody asked him. He was in 1857, he was hauled up before the British governor of Delhi for trial because they were slaughtering Muslims. And the governor asked him, he said, are you a Muslim? He said, aap musalman hai? He said, aadha musalman hu. He said, I'm half a Muslim. He said, wo kya hota hai? What is that? He said, sharab peeta hu, suar nahi khata. He said, I drink alcohol, but I do not eat pork. May Allah forgive him and give him Jannah, inshallah. Amin bola ra, tumhara kya jata? My point is, this is not restricted to that shire or that. This is our thinking. This is our thinking. Think about this. How many things which we know are haram, we allow, we permit in our weddings, in our dawats, in our, you know, whatever. We know this is wrong, but we still do it. And other things, which Allah have Allah, tu. What tu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not distinguish between gambling and pork and alcohol. We distinguish. Malak paid halal. Please understand this. Do not do this to yourself. Do not do this to yourself. I always say this all the time. I don't make the rules. I don't break the rules. I only tell you what the rules are and I try to follow them to the best of my ability. Don't make your own rules because they are not valid. The qanun, the rule has been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I can make our own rules. They have no validity whatsoever. On the day of judgment, what is the standard against which we will be judged? The standard that you created or I created, or the standard which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down? Which one? It's not rocket science, right? I'm not telling you some daqayak of fiqh. I'm telling you a straightforward thing. Everybody knows this. So let us please follow that. Don't make your own rules. Don't take the thing and grade it and this is more important, that is less important. If you are saying that, get the dalil for this. If there is no dalil and you know and I know there is no dalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving you the dalil of the Quran. I'm giving you ayat of the Quran. You can't deny that. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with regard to the reward? How will He reward the one who follows every single sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very simply and clearly. In Surah Al Imran, Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. He said, say to those who claim to love Allah, say to those who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say to them, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say to those who say, La ilaha illallah. Say to those who claim to love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow me. Do my ittiba. Not do my ita'at, do my ittiba. I have mentioned the difference between ittiba and ita'at many times before, so I will not repeat. Ittiba is to do whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, whether or not he ordered it. Ita'at is to do what he ordered. Ittiba is to go beyond that, is to imitate because you love him. Did he ask this to be done? Did he order do this? No. Why do you do it? Because I love him. Ittiba is a symbol of love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did Allah say? Allah said, say to those who claim to love Allah, do your ittiba. Make my ittiba. Fattabi'uni. Make my ittiba. Ittiba, do my ittiba, imitate me. And what will happen? Yuhbibkumullah. Then Allah will love you. I want you to simply sit down for 10 seconds and think about this implication. What is the implication if Allah loves you? The problem is we live like morons. We live like, you know, robots.
We don't think, we don't reflect, nothing. We read the ayat of the Quran, alhamdulillah.
Reflect. Yuhibbukumullah. I am not saying this verse, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said this. Yuhibbukumullah. Allah will love you. What is the implication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving you? What is the implication? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, what does that mean for you? Does it mean anything at all? You don't have to answer me. Answer yourself. Answer yourself. Does it mean anything at all? Is this worth it? Is this something that is worth even worrying about? Is it something that we should do something about? Is it worth having? I'm not even talking about the Akhirah, Day of Judgment, Khabar, this, that. Now, in this dunya. In this dunya, right now, in your business, in your home, in your family, in your societies, in your associations, what not, in your politics. Is it worth if Allah loves you? Or is it worthless? Let him love, let him not love. That's his problem, not my problem. Which one? If you think, seriously reflect, if you think that it is worth your while that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should love you, the solution is very simple. Follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stop arguing, stop making fantastical arguments, stop talking about this and that. Just do it. Imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was writing the Muwatta, and when he completed the Muwatta, and this is a book of such authenticity that Imam Bukhari took the whole book into his Bukhari Sharif. So it's a book of hadith. And when Imam Malik finished that, the book had great acclaim. Imam Malik was highly respected by the entire Muslim world at the time. People used to say, how can I give a... The ulama of the world used to say, how can I make a fatwa when Malik is in Medina? The Khalifa was a murid of Imam Malik rahmatullahi. So somebody came to Imam Malik and they said, why don't you tell the Khalifa to declare that only the ahadith which you have preserved in your Muwatta are authentic and that people should not follow anything else? Imagine if this kind of temptation is given today to somebody who is in that position. What is that person likely to do? Illa mashallah. But you know what Imam Malik said? Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants every sunnah of his Nabi to be preserved and followed, who am I to restrict it and say that only these sunnah must be followed? See the position of the people who we respect. I'm talking about ittiba. I'm talking about doing every single thing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Famous story about the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma was going on his camel. He came to a particular place. He made his camel take two turns and then he made the camel sit down. And he got off and he prayed two rakat of Nafil Salah in that place. So people asked him, what a strange thing. You're going somewhere, you make this camel turn two circles and then you make the camel kneel down, then you're praying two rakat Nafil Salah. What is this place? Why are you doing this? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said a very simple thing. He said, I saw Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One day he was passing by this way. His camel took two turns and sat down and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed two rakat of Nafil Salah. Now just think about this. Our intelligent minds, our educated minds, what do they tell us? They tell us this is nuts, this is crazy. Rasulullah said, some camel takes two turns, a big deal. So what? Did Rasulullah say, make the camel do two turns? Maybe the camel couldn't figure out whether to sit in this direction, that, whatever, right? No. That is not the deen that the Sahaba learnt. The deen the Sahaba learned was do what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, irrespective of whether you like it or you don't like it, because your liking and disliking is from your nafs. If you dislike something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, it's a sickness of the heart.
Do it if it makes sense or it doesn't make sense, because what makes sense and what doesn't make sense depends on the level of knowledge that we have. What makes sense to a PhD professor will never make sense to a class 5 student, but the class 5 student should still do what the PhD professor is saying because his knowledge is more. What the cardiologist tells you will not make sense to you, but if you want your heart to continue to beat, do what the cardiologist tells you, don't argue. What about the knowledge of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who got his knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he says to do something or if he did something, what about following that without question? When we follow many, many people in our lives without question. All of these people who want to have these so-called logical arguments about the sunnah, I can guarantee you, I can sit with you and I can show you how many people and how many things in your life you are currently following without question. But the minute it comes to following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have questions. Then these questions are coming from where? They are coming from your personal assistant called Shaitan. Nothing else. This is your PA giving you this advice. Junk that PA, right? Junk the PA and throw him away and don't take this advice. When people asked Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha about this particular incident of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, she said, I have not seen anyone who follows the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as closely as Abdullah ibn Umar. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the Sahaba knew the true barakah of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why they followed it. And I advise myself and you, let us follow those who knew what they were doing. Let us not follow those who have no clue what they are doing, because they will lead us to some place which, believe me, I certainly don't want to go there. You make your own choices. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to say and do, and to do what we say, and to give us the barakah of this beautiful deen of ours. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.